Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Wild About Animals podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and I'm grateful to be here with you guys today. First and foremost, before we start, I want to thank all those who took the time to go back to episode one and listen and give me your feedback. It was very much appreciated. I hope you took something and you learned about red foxes. So if you did, that's bonus points for me. Before I reveal what episode two is about, this topic or this animal was chosen by a viewer who requested it for me. They know who they are. I'm not going to call them out, but if you are listening, you know, I appreciate you giving me this topic because there was a lot of stuff about these animals that I myself didn't know. I knew some things, but going into it and diving into it more was like, it just opened my mind up to be like, you know, there's so many things and misconceptions that we don't know about a topic. And when you learn more about it, it actually opens your eyes and broadens your horizon a little bit because you actually do learn some things. So, drum roll, please. The big reveal for today is we're going to be talking about elephants. And I would have thought that my little hint that I gave you guys would have kind of gave it away what we were talking about, because I posted in the Facebook group, and if you saw the picture, I posted an elephant ear, which is a plant named after, you know, elephants' ears. Some people didn't get it. One person was kind of confused and was like, they thought that this was a channel about animals, not plants. So I thought it was a little funny, but yes. Today, we are going to be talking about elephants, and after all of the research I've done, diving into it, readings and stuff, there are some things about elephants that I'm going to teach you guys today that's probably going to blow your mind, and you probably would have never thought you would have known this, but while we're just sitting here babbling on about it, we should go ahead and just dive right in onto it. Elephants are some of the planet's most fascinating creatures when you really think about it. They are the world's largest walking mammal. And I have to say that because some people will be trying to correct me saying the blue whale is the biggest mammal, which it is, but the elephant is the largest land walking mammal, just to put that into perspective. They play a vital role in any ecosystem that they live in. And because of human interactions for the past decades, they are now facing the risk of extinction. And it could be very well because we do not know more about these gentle giants. So I'm pretty sure you're wondering how many species of elephants there are. Well, there's only two living species of elephants in the world today. There's the Asian elephant and the African elephant. The African elephant is the bigger of the two, while the Asian elephant is the smaller cousin. And you're probably wondering, well, what's a good way to tell them apart? Well, the most common way to tell each elephant apart is African elephants have the bigger ears, the more they look like, if I had to suggest, they look like continents, almost like land masses, almost like bigger, floppier ears. Not floppy, but, you know, they're bigger ears. Asian elephants have smaller, rounder ears, and they're more circular when you look at them. Another good way to tell them apart is probably one of the more common ways to tell an elephant, or if I said it, you would probably know that they have them, is their tusk, which we're about to get into those in just a second. The African elephant, in both sexes, male and female, they both have tusks, and they're usually longer than the Asian one. But in the Asian elephants, only the males have the tusk. Females do not have any tusk at all. So that is also another sure way to tell, plus the ears, that will also help you in case, you know, you went to a zoo and you saw an elephant. You would probably be able to say, oh, because its ears are small, that's an Asian elephant. And even with the Asian elephant, you'll be able to tell if it's male or female. Maybe not so much with the African elephant, unless you knew size differences, or if you saw one in musk, which that's also something we'll get into later in the podcast. That would be a way to tell the difference. But speaking of tusks, what exactly are they? Well, funny enough, tusks are actually incisors, which means they're teeth. Yes, guys, the tusks are elongated incisors that continue to grow throughout the elephant's life. So pretty much these tusks that some people would assume are bones, they're actually teeth that continue to grow throughout the elephant's life. So what exactly are these things used for? Well, most people know that elephants use them to defend themselves, or in some situations, males use them to fight over females, which is very common knowledge. But these are actually multi-purpose tools that these elephants can use for a lot of different things. For example, mother elephants will use them, obviously, to defend their babies from predators, obviously. And then another thing that they can use for is they're used for digging for water during the dry season. They're also used for making more, like, to dig up in the ground when they're trying to find shrubs or to find more food. And they're also useful for pushing trees down if an elephant, you know, elephant is a pretty big animal. So if it wants to just walk through a tree, I really don't think that tree has much of a chance. It's just going to just push that tree over and just make its way because it's an elephant. It can do that. But remember when I told you guys that they're a vital role in their ecosystem? Well, when I said they dig a hole to dig up more water, an elephant has to drink a lot. And there's usually a big herd of elephants when they do this. But when they dig up this hole for the water and hole for them, they're not just digging up water for them, they're also digging it up for other animals around them in the ecosystem. Which means the elephant is a pretty good way for most animals to get water during dry season, because if they follow the elephant can probably find some water, dig it up, and then when it gets through drinking, then the animal can come in and get more water to make it through another day. But even though these tusks are multi-purpose tools, the tusks are kind of the main reason why elephants have been hunted for decades. Sure, they've been hunted for their meat and their skin, but the ivory in the tusk is the main reason that they've been poached to near extinction. It's been banned in several countries, but it still continues to happen. Most elephants today live on national reserves, to the point where it's like that's kind of the only place you can see them unless you go to a zoo or a circus, which we'll get into those topics later down the line, specifically the circus one. And even now, even though they're on these reserves, they're still being poached for their tusks, to the point where it's like the poachers are killing these animals and just taking the tusks, not even using any other part of them, just taking the tusk and leaving. And to kill these animals, these gentle giants, it's just really sad. Because again, these elephants play a vital role in whatever ecosystem they're in. And how many other animals depend on these gentle giants to, you know, get down to food that the elephant maybe tossed down from a tree and they can actually can't reach it. Or in the watering hole situation, like I stated to you guys earlier, you know, a lot of different other animals depend on these guys. So, here's a fun little tidbit or a fun little fact. So, are you left-handed or are you right-handed? Now, you're probably asking, why in the world did I just ask you guys, are you left-handed or are you right-handed? Also, just a little tidbit, I'm right-handed, just for those who didn't know. But, that was probably random, but there was a reason why. Did you guys know that elephants actually favor one of their tusks over the other one? So there might be a particular elephant that prefers their right tusk over their left one. You can even tell this because if one tusk is more worn down than the other one, that kind of gives into the idea that this elephant uses this particular tusk more than its other one, which means it favors it, which means you could say it's either right tusk or left tusk. Again, I know that was random, but that was just a little nice little factoid that I like to just add in there. But another massive tool that the elephants have is, again, something common that most people know the elephant for, is its massive trunk. Now, one, that's kind of something else that you can think of when you say an elephant. That's usually the first thing you think of. To me, the first thing I think of, the first couple things, is the ears, the trunk, and the tusk. That's usually the three things when you think of an elephant. That kind of gives you the idea of what it is. And again, that's also a multi-usage tool as well. The trunk is the fusion of its nostril and its upper lips. And it contains over 100,000 muscles with very little fat and no bones. So, pretty much, the elephant has this long nostril that is pretty much, it's a muscle. It's like a freaking, that's the heavy lifting thing. That's what that thing is used for. But it also has other usages as well. For breathing, obviously, because it's his nostrils. For touching, for grasping, and sound production. The elephant's sense of smell is so sharp that it's 4 times stronger than a bloodhound, which was specifically bred to sniff out, you know, to find when there's tracking animals, or in most common cases, they use them for to find missing people. They can lift heavy objects like logs and even do more delicate tasks like breaking a peanut shell and even wiping their eyes. Pretty much this elephant uses this appendage, or its nose, really much as we would use our hands in everyday life. Obviously, an elephant can't scratch its back, but with this appendage, it can actually do similar things to that, like a way for them to get to parasites on their back, because obviously it may not be able to reach its back with its tusk. An elephant will take dust and sand and toss it on its back or roll around in the mud, but usually they'll toss the dust and sand on their back, which helps dry their skin and help get rid of parasites. And even when they're swimming, elephants will even, and yes guys, these gentle giants are pretty graceful swimmers, they will actually stick their trunk out of the water and use it as a snorkel. It's pretty much a survival tool at this point. So it's like, elephant has these tusks and these trunks, and they can just use them to for all these tools and things, and you're just trying to figure out, like, how can something so big be so intelligent? Well, elephants' intelligence rivals that of primates and dolphins, and they have the largest brain out of any mammals. Because I'm pretty sure you heard the saying, elephants never forget. That's actually true. It's been studies show that elephant herds, who are led by a matriarch, who's usually the oldest female in the group, she will lead her herd to somewhere that she's probably been 30 years prior, or even last year. She can remember how to get to where they need to go to get to this specific watering hole, whether she went there 30 years ago, 10 years ago, or even last year. Elephants have even been shown to use the usage of tools, which has only been seen in primates or dolphins. They will use branches to swat at flies because, again, like I said, they can't swat at them with their hands, so they, you know, elephants got creative and probably through the evolutionary line learned that hitting a fly with a branch is a pretty effective way to keep it from getting on top of you. There's even been studies and evidence shown that, I guess the best, like in Africa, there's farmers who will use electric fences to keep, obviously, wild animals out for their herd animals, like their cows. Elephants have been shown to use rocks, and these trunks can pick up about 350 pounds of weight, just throwing that in there too. They will take the rock and drop it on top of the electric fence because the elephants have either learned that if you touch this fence, it's going to hurt you, or from a past experience, they probably have seen a member of their group hurt by this thing, and so they know if they break this fence that it won't hurt them. There's even been studies to show that elephants will use local plant life to induce labor, which you would probably wonder why they would probably want to do that, because, again, elephants have the highest gestation period of any land mammal, a whopping 22 months, which is literally a year and 2 months. So a female elephant will be pregnant for almost 2 years of her life when she does get pregnant. Which, to me, I don't know how she does it, but that's more power to that mother elephant. And mother elephants are very social, caring mothers. Elephants as a whole are social animals. Most of the time, I guess how it works is females stay together, males stay in the herd until they reach sexual maturity, and then they're kicked out of the herd, and then he usually just goes off on his own. The only time he comes back is, you know, obviously around mating time, obviously. But overall, elephants are very social animals and are very close-knit. There's even been signs of elephants shown mourning the death of a member of the herd, which again ties back into that social knit because not very many animals show the emotion of grief. It's been shown in a lot of animals, you know, that they can show it, but there's been certain studies of like elephants that show that they actually go through the emotions of grief. A good example I think that I saw was there was a mother elephant who lost her baby, and she grieved so hard for that baby that when the herd was moving, she was walking in the back of the herd. There's even been studies shown like when the matriarch dies, her children or her daughters who are still in the herd with her will be some of the last elephants that leave her body. There's even been studies that elephants will actually bury their dead family members by tossing dirt on them. It's almost as like they actually can get the concept of death. Maybe not in the more developed way that we have it, but it's like the elephants actually show that my family member is dead, and they can actually understand the concept, but not to as advanced as we can. Now, all of that was diving into the elephants' intelligence, their usage of their tools, or their appendages, as you want to call them, their tusk and their trunks. But let's say, for example, you actually run into an elephant. What do you do? Which would be a little bit harder to suggest because, again, majority of us don't live close to elephants, but one day you may decide to go on a safari or, you know, and this might have to come up. Well, most 9 times out of 10, you will more than likely see the elephant before it sees you because elephants do not have the best eyesight. But the elephant might smell you before you see him. Now, when it comes to elephants, elephants are some of the most gentlest animals in the world, but they're also some of the most dangerous ones. They're actually, in Africa, the African elephant specifically, is one of the most dangerous animals in Africa. They've actually killed a lot of people in Africa, and you would think them being so big that, you know, people would actually, you know, not be killed by them or not learn to not get in their way, but it's like, you know, things, there's a lot of factors that play into how elephant attacks actually go about, which we're about to jump into right now. So, one common way that elephants, or the way that they usually get, people get attacked by them, is it's a male elephant in musts. Now, you're probably wondering when I say musts, you're like, what are you saying like this? He smell? No. Pretty much when a male elephant reaches sexual maturity, he goes through this thing where his hormones, his testosterone, goes to 4 times the maximum level than they normally do. Now, most people know that testosterone is the male hormonal that we all have, or males have in us. And it, you know, it basically makes the male elephant, I guess the best way to explain it is like, it makes him feel like he's He-Man. That his testosterone gets so built up and so massive that his aggression actually hits another level. The way to actually tell if an elephant has musts is if you look on the side of his head, you'll see like this wet residue. It's usually right before you get to his ear. That's usually where you'll see this residue at. But even in the captivity in the zoos, is if a male elephant goes into musts, which he will go into musts, he's actually a danger to not only the keepers, but to the other elephants. He won't be able to, you know, he has to show his dominance. And that is one way that people can get attacked by elephants, because male elephants will be in musts and he'll be more aggressive than normal elephants would be. Another way is you walk up on a baby elephant and he's cute. He's cute, you know, he just roll around just so, and then he runs off. And then you hear this roaring in the back and you look. And it's his mom. In her mind, she doesn't know that you're not going to hurt him. But she's going by her maternal instinct to defend that baby from you because she doesn't know that you're not there to hurt him. And that's also another tail sign, you know, that elephant attacks happen. Or there's even been some weirder ones, like you walk up on an elephant and it's not in the best mood. And you just happen to be there, and, you know, it takes your frustration out on you. It probably shouldn't, but it does anyway. But some advice that I would give you guys, in case you do run into an elephant. It depends on if the elephant is charging at you or it's not. A elephant who, there's either two situations. If it bluff charges at you, it means it will attempt to charge, but it won't go through with the charge. It's just trying to intimidate you. Now, if that's the case, and I advise this if it's not a non-musk one, but stand your ground, speak in a calm voice, and give them space. Because you have to respect this creature's space. Now, if it's not a mock trial, and this is also an elephant with musk, it's going to charge at you. The best way is to run in a zigzag, do not climb a tree, because climbing a tree is pointless because it's just going to knock the tree down. Or you could, just a little tidbit or a fun fact, because one of the myths is elephants are scared of mice. There's no scientific proof of this. There is scientific proof of the fact that elephants are actually scared of African bees. African bees have been known to scare herds of elephants away by just stinging them constantly, and the elephants even recognize the sound. So in case you go with a person who's a traveler or a tour guide, they may know, or they have a speaker that plays bee noise. This has actually been shown to scare elephants away. Now that we got through that about what to do with elephants, now we're going to tab into the whole what I said earlier about the zoo and the circus situations with elephants. I've been a very advocate person when it comes to zoos. I think zoos are very educational, especially for us who live in the Western world who can't see these animals in their natural habitat, like elephants and lions and tigers. I think it's a great way for people to learn about these animals, me personally. But I do know, but that also kind of dives into the bad part about it, because these animals, again, can't be released into the wild because they're so used to human care. They don't have that natural instinct. And then when it comes to the circus, that right there is kind of a hit or miss type of feeling, because obviously the circus is using these animals for entertainment purposes. And it's even been shown that elephants and animals under stress will attack their handlers. People have been killed trying to handle these animals in an entertainment purpose that they're not even supposed to be used for. These gentle animals are supposed to be in the wild. And I guess the best way to explain it is to be the guardians of wherever the ecosystem they live in. That was kind of the best way I could say it. I'm not saying that we need to just cut them from the zoos, because they're good for educational purposes, especially because it's kind of the best way for people, again, like I said, in the Western part of the world to actually see these animals in person, because they're not in our backyards anymore. But when it comes from the circus ass point, it's like we're not actually seeing elephants be elephants. We're watching them be programmed to be these things for entertainment, for our consumption, which isn't fair to them. But with that, guys, that's going to be the end of the Wild About Animals episode 2. I hope you enjoyed yourself, and I can't wait for you guys to see episode 3. Remember, we're going to have the hints on there on the Facebook page. If you need to go find that, I will gladly tell you. If you go to Facebook, search Wild About Animals, you'll see our page. Come like, come join the community, and be part of the wild family today. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You have a nice day.